Good evening. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, things just keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And it seems that Slobodan Milosevic is winning the propaganda war. Because I really don't know. I really don't know anymore how many people are lying, except I can tell you this, that everybody is lying to a certain degree. Most of the lies are coming from NATO and Washington, D.C. I can tell you that for a fact. Now, I'm sure that Milosevic is lying some also. To what degree, I don't know. I mean, it's an art of warfare to lie, to promote propaganda, to try to get the population to support your side by presenting your position as being the correct one, whether it is or not. And I'm just sick of lies. I'm just sick to death of it. But Yugoslavia has instituted a unilateral ceasefire. And the Nazi NATO SS in Washington, D.C. says, no, we'll bomb you into the Stone Age. To hell with your ceasefire. I mean, that's incredible. I was watching Crossfire a few minutes ago with James Rubin on there. This is one of the slimiest, slipperiest, sleaziest, lying snakes I have ever seen. And that's why he is now the spokesperson for the State Department. Nobody ever heard of this guy before. And then all of a sudden, there he is. Because he lies better than Madeleine Albright or anybody else who's in the State Department. And he's able to slip around and slide and sleaze by questions without really answering them. Oh, he's a piece of work. I got to tell you, folks, this guy is a real piece of work. I am just tired of lies. I'm tired of liars. I'm sick to death of politicians. How in the world are we going to survive if everybody is nothing but a liar? If all you get on CNN is lies, all you get out of the State Department is lies, all you get out of Washington, D.C. is lies, everybody ignores the absolute and true history that anybody can dig up and discover about what's happening in Yugoslavia and what has happened in the past leading up to this. And folks, I have been on the internet exchanging messages with people in the heart of Yugoslavia in Belgrade. I have been talking to Kosovar Albanians on the internet in Belgrade. They tell me that something's really wrong with what the world is hearing because they fled the NATO bombing to Belgrade from Kosovo. And now they're being bombed in Belgrade and they don't know where to go. They tell me that there are 50,000 refugees who fled Kosovo to Belgrade, who fled the bombing. Now, I have no way of knowing over the internet whether they're really Kosovars, whether they're really Albanians, or whether they're Serbs, or whether this is some big baloney tale. But I'm getting the same story from other sources that have no interest in telling lies whatsoever. And, you know, on this broadcast, you always get the truth from me. This is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm seeing. I'm also seeing something that's absolutely extraordinary. They were absolutely vilifying the Yugoslavian government under Slobodan Milosevic because they said they were forcing the people in Kosovo to leave their homes and flee as refugees, and the great plight of the refugees, and this was one of the most terrible, inhumane crimes against humanity since World War II. Now, they are criticizing the Yugoslavian government because the military at the border are forcing the refugees to go home. What in the hell kind of double talk is this? Why in the world would they force them out of their villages, make them become refugees, send them to the border, and then turn around and send them back to their village? And why in the world would CNN and Washington, D.C. and NATO be criticizing them for that? Isn't that what they wanted them to do, send them back to their homes? This is sick. This is sick. It has reached the proportions, ladies and gentlemen, of absolute insanity. And any of you who think you can believe anybody in this thing, you're out of your mind. Because they're all lying, all of them, to one extent or another. But I can tell you one thing. This guy, James Rubin from the State Department, is one of the biggest liars I've ever seen in my entire life, along with William Jefferson Clinton. He's almost got Clinton beat, as a matter of fact. Incredible. Incredible things are happening. And there are sheeple in this country who are sitting in front of their television sets 24 hours a day watching this, tuned to CNN, being so brainwashed that they could not possibly. Know what in the hell they're thinking or talking about or the truth about anything that's going on over there. It sickens me. And then NBC and the Wall Street Journal. Now, these people are not linked. How in the world is it that NBC and the Wall Street Journal are conducting a poll together? NBC and the Wall Street Journal claim that 73% of all Americans now favor sending ground troops in to fight a ground combat war in Kosovo. I don't believe it. I can't prove that it's not true, but I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe that Americans are that stupid or that willing to see their sons and daughters die in a foreign nation because they've been propagandized by CNN, Washington, D.C., and NATO. For what? You really think you're going to solve it by sending ground troops into Kosovo? You see, this problem and this battle has been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. You're not going to solve it. You're just going to drive it underground. Where somebody will be walking down a street and they'll get their throat slit in the middle of the night. Because it won't end. And the hatred that we've engendered in the minds of the Serbs toward the United States of America and all of the NATO nations that have forced this upon them is going to fester and build and become another crisis at some future date. Because what's happening now is the direct result of the oppression against the Serbs over hundreds of years, which they have never forgotten, will never forget. They hold grudges, they seek revenge, and until they and their natural enemies play this out to the end and seek some kind of a peace upon their own terms, it's not ever going to end. It's just going to get worse. And now Americans will become the target. And I'm so sick of Larry King. Oh, jeez. You talk about, you know, if it hadn't been for Larry King, the Monica Lewinsky thing would have died in the first 2 weeks that it surfaced. Larry King is the one who made that thing continue forever. And I'm still hearing about contrails. Not only that, but things are getting a little insane. If you've been to our website, harvest-trust.org, you saw that we put up an article about the the fact that the Kosovo War was actually planned by the Bilderbergers, the Bilderberg Group, back in 1996. Now, when that happened, we covered it on this broadcast. We did a couple of shows about what was covered at the 1996 meeting of the Bilderbergers. One, that Clinton would definitely be reelected, and I announced that on this broadcast, and I told you why. Because the Bilderbergers said he would, and he was. And we told you that they had planned a war in Kosovo and the Balkans. We covered that thoroughly. That was a long time ago. Now, here it is. Here it is. Happening. People said I was crazy. It's not crazy to listen to the most powerful men and women in the world when they plan future events. That's not craziness. That's sanity. They have the influence, the power, and the money to make it happen, whatever it is that they wish to happen. And so we put the story back up on the internet, and we linked to the website of Mr. Whitley, who had written this particular story, so that you could get it from someone other than me. All of a sudden, I'm getting email from somebody who claims to be a radio talk show host called Quinn. Quinn. Never heard of the guy before. Don't know anything about him. I don't even know if he's really a talk show host. Never heard his radio show, if indeed he has one. And he's sending me email, taking me to task for my Y2K stance, and I tell him that Y2K is a fraud. And he keeps sending me email, and I didn't want to hear it, so I sent him one back, and I said, screw off, you know, leave me alone. And that's exactly what I said. I didn't say it any other way. I'm not cleaning it up. I said exactly, screw off. All of a sudden, this insane maniac is sending me email telling me that I linked to his website broadcast, and I said on my website that he was the greatest radio host in whatever area it is that he's in, and that I called him a fraud. And he's threatening me with lawyers. I never called him a fraud. I never linked to his website. Never heard of him in my entire life. Those of you who have been to our website, you know all this. You've seen it all. I don't know where he's coming off. I said Y2K is a fraud. And I told him to screw off because I didn't want any more of his crazy email. I get, ladies and gentlemen, over 700 emails a day. I don't need it from nuts, wackos, and idiots. So I went back and investigated. How in the world could this guy think that I linked to his website and that I said he was the greatest radio talk show host in the world? I never said any of that, never linked to his website, never even heard of the guy in my life. So I went back and looked. What we had linked to was Mr. Whitley's website on the 96 meeting of the Bilderberg Group, where they stated that there would be a war in Kosovo. Linked from Mr. Whitley's site is a radio interview where Mr. Whitley appeared apparently on Mr. Quinn's radio broadcast, wherever it was broadcast, I have no idea. And so this Mr. Quinn doesn't have the brains to figure out by just looking at the website address that it's not on our website. It's on Mr. Whitley's website, which is we linked to specifically for the story on the 96 Bilderberg meeting which planned the war in Kosovo right now. And for this, he's been flooding my mailbox with the most insane email that you've ever seen, accusing me of everything in the world and threatening to sue us with lawyers and all kinds of stuff. Because in answer to one of his emails, I told him Y2K is a fraud. And he interpreted that as me calling him a fraud. And apparently, because the man has no brains whatsoever, he must be. And so now he has legitimate grounds to sue me, if he wants to. I don't own anything, and I'm certainly shaking in my boots, but I am just sick and tired of the insanity. I'm tired of saying on the broadcast that we're playing this tape to let you know what happened in Panama. We are not selling the tape. We don't know where you can get the tape. Don't send us money and don't call us and try to purchase it from us. And then the next day, get 100 phone calls of people who want to buy the tape from us. I mean, what has happened to the brain pool? Why is it that everybody in the world seems to have turned into a pool of whimpering, brainless, ignorant, stupid, and apathetic jelly? I can't stand it. I can't stand it. It drives me insane. And now the contrails, people are still going crazy over these contrail lies, claiming that contrails are killing us, that the hospitals are overflowing with people dying from contrail disease, whatever that disease may be. According to some of these fools, people are catching rabies from contrails, from jet airplanes. And so because of that, because I am just tired, like I said the other night, and because I am really thoroughly pissed off at most Americans, I'm going to redo the contrail story tonight. So here it goes. Listen carefully. And I'm going to repeat this. Don't send me any more of your insane letters saying how wrong I am about the contrails, or any more of your stupid, insane emails about how I'm all wrong about the contrails, unless you can prove what you're saying, and not one of you have done it yet. You're the biggest bunch of fools that's ever existed in the world, all of you who promote this contrail nonsense. You can't furnish one shred of proof anywhere from anybody that will substantiate anything that any of you are saying. You are liars, you are fools, you are propaganda artists, you are bullshit artists is what you are. And I can't figure out why in the world you're doing it, but you are. So here's the contrail show again. Listen to it. Get your head out of your ass. Stop being sheeple and see. Just see if you can stand up on two legs instead of four and become real people. Well, folks, we've got a hot one tonight for you. Art Bell did it again. Yep. Old Art Bullshit Bell did it again. Mass hysteria erupted again across the nation late last Wednesday night, early Thursday morning, after Art Bell interviewed one William Thomas on Art Bell Overnight. Thomas is the major figure pushing the jet contrails are killing us hoax. During the broadcast, William Thomas revealed that a man named Joe Burton was sprayed and has allegedly been diagnosed with, listen to this, folks, I can't even pronounce all of these things, hepatitis A, rabies, that's right, I said rabies, Epstein-Barr, Flu-83, V2-Gripe, N-T-BOC-L-methanol-L-leucol-L-phenylalanine-N-dimethylglycine, hydrochloride, trifluoronitrosomethane, and, folks, even turpentine. Can you believe this? I just love it. Now, you see, if all that were all true, rabies? Rabies? For God's sake, rabies. Yeah, he hasn't bit anybody yet that I know of, but he got rabies. And you're going to be amazed at where he got these things from. Rabies? If all that were true, folks, old Joe would most probably be dead. Now, we all know that, don't we? Old Joe would most probably be dead.
Our investigation demonstrates that Joe Burton is an extremely dangerous, paranoid, racist nut. That's right. You heard me correctly. You see, he claims that he contracted all of these diseases and chemicals and things from jet plane contrails. Yeah, those little lines that you see in the sky. He constantly raves on Usenet about his exploits, which usually means they occur only in his wildest dreams. And Thomas, William Thomas, with a malfunctioning bullshit filter, accepts anything that supports his contrail hoax. That old Art B.S. Bell picked up the ball, as usual, and blabbed it all over the worldwide radio before checking to see if there is any factual basis for the story, and in the process promoted the insane ravings of a well-known racist nut. Bullshit, lies, and disinformation have become Art Bell's stock in trade. You all know that. It's incredible what's flying across this country, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be talking about that tonight. We have a special guest. My good friend Jay Reynolds is going to be our guest tonight. He called me. Well, he had been sending me things on contrails for a long time in email. And then we talked, and I persuaded him to do a story for Veritas based upon his research. And many of you that have received Veritas have read the story. Well, there's an updated version that's posted on the Internet on our website, harvest-trust.org. harvest-trust.org. If you'll go to the home page, you'll see this Art Bell Did It Again story, and at the bottom of that story is a link to those mysterious lines in the sky, which is all of the research, facts, documentation, and sources for the truth about jet contrails and what they're really doing, and of course, what they're not doing. And mostly, they're not doing much at all. Which is the case for just about most things that fly aground in the so-called, quote, patriot, end quote, community. Because of all the wackos who call themselves patriots, you know, I hesitate to even use that name anymore. Just like although I believe in the teachings of Jesus, I hate to call myself a Christian because of all of the wacko nuts out there that call themselves Christians. I don't want to be associated with any of them. Most of them are nuttier than any fruitcake that I've ever seen on any Christmas table. Be that as it may, there is so much disinformation, so many lies, so many con jobs going concerning these contrails that even though the story is printed in Veritas, I decided to do a broadcast tonight and just cover this subject thoroughly. Put it to bed, so to speak. So if you're one of these wacky Looney Tune nuts that have been running around that the sky is falling, contrails are killing us, we're all dying, the hospitals are packed wall to wall, I'm going to embarrass you. I'm going to make you look like the idiot that you are. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good your intentions are. If you're one of these wacko idiot creeps that hurt us all by taking every rumor that crosses between the airspace between your ears and passes it on without ever checking it out or doing one single little bit of inquisitive work to try to ascertain the truth of it, then, buddy, you ain't no friend of mine. You're not part of the solution. You are a major part of the problem. And when I say major, I mean major. And somehow, we've got to make you stop it. And if the only way to do that is just embarrass the holy hell out of you, that's exactly what we'll do. And we'll start doing it tonight. So, folks, hang on to your hats. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Later on, we'll be taking your calls.
As the night flies in, I miss you girl so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out of me on such a time I am flight.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've already stirred up a hornet's nest. Had one of the nuts that's been spreading the rumor called, and he identified himself exactly in that manner. He said, "I'm one of the nuts that's been spreading this." I said, "Good night, nut," and hung up because the phones aren't open. I thought it might be Jay. Well, a few minutes later, a woman called. And I don't know what she wanted to talk about because I told her I wasn't taking calls right now and hung up. And then a few minutes later, another nut called up and threatened me. So you see, when I said we're going to stir up a hornet's nest, I wasn't kidding. And for all of you nuts out there, don't threaten me. If you think you've got the balls, you come and show up on my doorstep, and we'll just see what you're going to do besides jack your jaw. Because that's all that you ever do is jack your jaw. On the phone, we have Jay Reynolds, my good friend, longtime member of our news service, and a very thorough researcher. And that's how we became good friends. I just observed what he did and what he produced and what he said and found out that he's just like me. He likes the truth, not the con. Good evening, Jay.
Hello, Bill.
Welcome to the Hour of the Time.
Well, thank you very much. Good to be here.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are so the listening audience knows something about you to begin with. Was what, Jay?
It was false. It was a lie.
Okay. Why don't we begin at the beginning? I mean, what did you find, and how did you find out that it was not true?
Well, an email message was sent, and that started, as far as I'm concerned, that's the first written record that I've been able to find on it.
And that was sent where? You got that right. And what did this email message have to say?
Well, it said that the lines in the sky are identified. And it went on to say that there was an analysis that had been issued by a company. And it said that the analysis showed a dangerous pesticide was in jet fuels.
Was this the email from Richard Fink?
That's exactly who sent that. And it was in August of 97.
August of 97. Okay. I have the one from September 17th, 97.
Oh, that's true. Okay. It was 1 month actually later. It was 17th of September. You're correct.
Okay. Let me read that. I'll read that on the air, and then you can talk about it.
I'll ask your listeners to tell me to think about this and if it sounds like an analysis or not.
Okay. It says, from Richard Fink, sent Wednesday, September 17th, 1997, 4:18 p.m. to biowar-l@mail.sonic.net, which is a mailing list on the Internet, concerning biowarfare. Subject, biowar, lines in the sky identified. Genocide on a wholesale lot. Lines in the sky are identified. Samples are analyzed. The lab director of Aquatech Environmental, a.k.a. Aquatel, Marion, Ohio, phone 707-887-2228, using samples taken from JP-8 contaminated fields of Maryland and Pennsylvania, reported today, 9/18/97, that ethylene dibromide, otherwise known as EDB,
has been the contaminant in the fuel and water samples taken of submitted by farmers, pilots, and tanker drivers. EDB is one of the most tightly controlled EPA substances and was banned in 1983 due to its carcinogenicity. EDB is a pesticide that apparently is being placed in the jet fuel and dispersed on a daily, almost nonstop basis in our skies. The lines filling our skies are not contrails. The lines are dispersed and may linger for hours, slowly filtering down to unsuspecting pests, and I guess we're the pests. Now, right off the bat, I got to tell you, there's something really wrong with this. This message was sent September 17th, 1997, and it reports today, September 18th, 1997, in the body of the message. And there's so many things wrong with this, it's pathetic, but go ahead, Jay. Oh, that's my stock in trade, Jay. You know that. I'm a stickler for those things.
We always look for something which doesn't fit or something that doesn't ring true. And that starts off right off the beginning. But even before that, once I started looking at this, I called the phone number. And right off the bat, I noticed that the area code is California. It's not Ohio.
It's also the designation of a jet plane.
True. Well,
this guy has a subtle sense of humor.
I know whose phone number it is, and I won't say who it is. I've called them, and they will hang up on you because it's a residence.
Yeah, and they're probably tired of having all the wackos call about the jet fuel killing people. And
it's fairly easy to do. It's on the internet, several places.
Yes.
And when you get to the original one, you see a little bit more here. And so I contacted Aquatech Environmental, which is a company in Ohio, and they are tired of responding to this. Their policy is they do not give out any analysis that anybody has paid for without permission.
Sure, it's proprietary information.
Yeah. Now, in the first place, there's no analysis here. An analysis would show a percentage of parts per million or billion, and it would be much more complete. This is really just strictly, it's really a rumor.
Or more properly, intentional disinformation. Yeah.
He didn't use those words. He said that it's not accurate. Now that sounds like our president, doesn't it?
That sounds just like our president.
He said that it's not accurate. He also said, in a roundabout way, he threatened me.
Well, it might be the same guy that just called and threatened me then.
I don't know. He said that 7 men had died trying to get this information out.
Bullshit. That's a downright lie. That's an absolute lie. If 7 men have died, produce the death certificates, tell us who they are, and we'll research it out. We'll find out that it's just like all the rest of this stuff. It's a lie.
Well, I can make 2 conclusions from that if it were true. The first conclusion would be that Richard Fink is a Superman who can survive when 7 others have died.
Yeah. Well, no killing has been done, I can assure you of that. Not over this, because the whole thing is false. I mean, it's already been proven that there's absolutely nothing to it. There's no reason to kill anybody. Period. Am I correct?
Yes, because I do not believe that there is any ethylene dibromide in jet fuel.
And there's nobody has ever produced any analysis anywhere that says there is, have they?
No, they haven't. No.
But they all run around claiming that all of these analyses have been made, but not one of these people can produce an analysis that you can track down to who did the analysis and confirm it. And they can't even produce one that you can't track down. They can't produce anything.
The only thing they produce is Richard Fink's email.
Yeah. Just like most of the things that fly around out there, that's, you know, when you track it down, it turns out to be some bogus rumor started by somebody in Podunk, Michigan, or Little Creek, Ohio, or Big Bear, Colorado, or something like that. And 9 times out of 10, you can't even find the person that started it, but you can usually prove that the information's false. We discovered that about 99% of everything that's being passed around from hand to hand and whispered from mouth to ear is nothing but a pack of lies.
Well, you know, Bill, a good conspiracy or rumor has to be built on a shred of truth.
Sure it does.
And that helps it to carry a lot better.
Yeah.
And the only shred of truth anywhere having to do with EDB, ethylene dibromide, is that it was, up until 1983, used in aviation gasoline for piston planes.
Well, that don't leave contrails.
Well, no, they can't leave contrails.
Well, sometimes they can under certain circumstances, but most contrails are left by jets.
Nowadays, there's not that many large high-altitude piston planes around.
Sure.
But I was able to find several beautiful pictures of B-17 bombers from World War II with contrails running for miles behind them.
Yeah, they can produce contrails under certain circumstances, but not as easily or as prolific as jet engines.
And I asked my father. He was there.
Mm-hmm.
He flew B-17s over Germany and Czechoslovakia in World War II, and he can remember the contrails.
I can remember seeing them as a boy when all the planes were piston engines, except for the first jets, which there were so few of them that they were only stationed at certain bases, and it was very rare that we ever saw them.
Well, anyway, there was EDB in airplane gas, but what most people don't realize is if they're old enough to have been alive in those days, that every time they were sitting in a traffic jam, they were breathing the exhaust from a car which used leaded gas that contained ethylene dibromide.
Now, elaborate on that, because a lot of people are sitting there with their mouth down to their chest. They're thinking these planes that are flying at 50,000 feet, leaving a contrail, are poisoning them when they've already, you know, been in traffic exposed to much more of this chemical that they say that is poisoning the population than any jet contrail or aircraft contrail could ever present in the atmosphere that would ever reach the ground, that would ever even touch them.
Well, I'll elaborate and tell you the reason why everyone is not dead, even though the ethylene dibromide was used in fuels.
In particular, in aviation fuel for piston engines and gasoline that was used in every car in the nation. And if what these people are saying is true, then everybody who's ever walked down a street in New York City or driven in a busy city street should be dead by now.
Well, Bill, the reason why they're not is because ethylene dibromide breaks down with heat. And combustion of both of any kind of an engine is basically fire.
Sure.
And the ethylene dibromide, it oxidizes. That means it combines with oxygen, and it breaks down, and basically you have a number of different compounds, which I'm not certain what they are, and they're not being put out now anyway. But that's most probably the reason why it didn't cause any problems. Now, it may just as happy that they don't have to use it. I was probably more concerned with the lead than I would have been with the ethylene dibromide.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they have built engines which can run on unleaded gasoline, and we don't use the ethylene dibromide anymore.
And is there any truth to their assertion that ethylene dibromide is in jet fuel?
Well, I checked that one out, too. And I have to say that I was only able to find one person that could help me to run this down. And it was the developer of a jet fuel additive, Dr. Steve Zabarnik, PhD, from Dayton University Research Institute. And he wrote to me and told me that ethylene dibromide is not a component of this new fuel, JP8. And as far as I know, it has never been used in jet fuels. So that was the response that I can make. As far as I'm concerned, that should close the matter. And anyway, it is up to the person making the claim to document their claim.
Sure. And none of these people have documented anything yet. They're just spreading wild rumor.
As far as I've been able to see, that's the way it is.
Yeah. You know how I found out there was no ethyl dibromide in jet fuel?
No, I'd like to know.
Well, my father... I was reared in an Air Force family, and I know Air Force people all over the world. All my life was spent on Air Force bases with Air Force people. I was in the Air Force for 4 years. A lot of the people I served with didn't get out, but stayed in. I just called several of these people and asked them to go over to the jet shop on the base and get a list of the chemicals in the jet fuel, which they must have, because by law, the Environmental Protection Agency mandates it. And I asked them to read me off the list of the ingredients and additives in the jet fuel, of all the different jet fuels on the base. And they were a little perturbed that I wanted them to do that, but they did it. And guess what?
It wasn't there.
It's not there. And if it was there, it would have to be listed by law. By federal law, it must be listed on the Environmental Protection Agency statement that must accompany all chemicals.
Well, there's one more problem with if they still contend that it must be in there. What about the people working on the ground at the airport? What about the families living next to the base?
Yeah, none of them are dying. None of them are dead. And I got to tell you, when I was in the Air Force, I felt sorry for those guys in the jet shop. Now, I was in the hydraulic shop. My specialty was hydraulics, which is pneumatics and hydraulics, high-pressure air and fluids. And occasionally when I'd be working under a wing and I would be removing some portion of the hydraulic system, I would get drenched in hydraulic fluid. But hydraulic fluid wasn't nearly as bad to get drenched in as jet fuel was. And those guys that worked in the jet shop were constantly being soaked from head to toe with jet fuel. And none of them ever got sick with anything, except normal colds and flu and things like that. I was there 4 years and watched it happen for 4 years. In fact, I watched all my life. I lived on Air Force bases until I left home at 18. And I still know an awful lot of people in the Air Force who work around jet engines, jet fuel, on the flight lines, in the hangars, in the headquarters, all over the place. And when I talk to them about this, they just die laughing. They think it's the funniest thing they ever heard. None of their people are sick. They still get soaked with jet fuel when they work on the fuel systems and the jet engines. And guys in the hydraulic shop still get soaked with hydraulic fluid. Nobody's dropping dead from ethyl dibromide. Or anything else for that matter.
So what we have is a rumor. It's not based on fact, and it doesn't even follow logically.
No, not at all. And what about this this guy Joe Burton who was sprayed? Did you hear the sprayed with a jet contrail and was allegedly diagnosed with hepatitis A, rabies. Can you imagine this? Rabies? The guy's walking around with rabies, Epstein-Barr, flu 83, V2 gripe, and all of these things that I can't even pronounce, and then turpentine.
I have been doing a little research on this. Of course, that story broke last Wednesday when Art Bell had a program and the man read off with a so-called analysis from a man named Joe Burton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe he had just received that the same day, and he read it on the air the same day.
Mm-hmm. No, neither did Bell, did he? But that's not news. That's not news at all. I mean, nobody ever checks any of this stuff out except people like you and me and a few others. There are a few others out there, folks, who do check things. Some of them listen to this broadcast and learn to do it here. Thank God.
Well, Bill, I have had a week to check it out.
Okay, go for it. I want to hear this. Okay.
I have some top quality chemical researchers and medical researchers which are helping me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start with one of the chemicals which we have identified, and it's called...
Good luck. I can't pronounce these things.
The way I would abbreviate it is DMG.
Okay. Okay. N-dimethylglycine, right?
Right. We have found that this is a dietary supplement.
Okay.
This is a nutrient which enhances physical performance.
Actually, it's N-dimethylglycine hydrochloride, according to this. Uh-huh.
To make the difference between an acid and a salt is that you have mixed a base with it, and that brings neutralizes the acid and turns it into a salt, which is used for a nutrient.
Uh-huh.
And it's available for sale, and they say it's actually good for someone who has immune system problems.
Oh.
If we were to take this, you would take one pill a day, and it enhances your immune response, basically.
Okay.
Now, that's the only chemical that I have much on, but I'm going to go back to this analysis.
Okay.
The analysis was originally for several chemicals and several different diseases.
According to this guy ought to be dead, especially if he's got rabies.
Well,
and hepatitis A ain't no walk in the park.
No, not exactly. I would have
thought... Unless he's a carrier. If he's a carrier, then it wouldn't affect him.
True. What I found was that there's an awful lot of people that actually have the antibody which shows that they have had past infection of hepatitis. In fact, the number is 33%.
But this doesn't say that he has the antibody. It says he has hepatitis A.
Well, the only way you can diagnose it is by finding this antibody. Or, I guess if the person is downright yellow, you'd probably say they have hepatitis.
Yeah. Well, if that's true, then they couldn't ever diagnose anybody with AIDS. Because AIDS attacks the autoimmune system, you wouldn't have an antibody. You see what I mean? And rabies? People don't survive rabies very often. Usually die from that.
Yes, unless it's treated rapidly, and once the symptoms actually appear, rabies is always fatal.
Yeah. Epstein-Barr, flu 83. What in the world is V2 gripe?
V2 gripe. Well, the only thing I was able to find on that, gripe
Okay, so he's got two kinds of flu, flu 83 and V2 flu.
That's,
is that right?
He may not have had the flu, he may have had it in the past.
This is one sick dude.
Now, the Epstein-Barr, have you ever heard of...
No, wait a minute, you can't interpret that. This says that he has V2 gripe. Doesn't say he had it in the past. Says he has flu 83, he has V2 gripe, he has Epstein-Barr, he has rabies, and he has hepatitis A, plus all of these long, weird chemical things that I have no idea what they are, except for the last one, turpentine. I know exactly what that is. Now, if he's a painter or has been recently painting, he could have turpentine in his system. Hepatitis A, rabies, mononucleosis, flu 83, V2 flu, and all of this other stuff, plus turpentine. This guy's still walking around. Now, I don't interpret things that I read, especially if it's an analysis. If it says in the analysis that he has hepatitis A, then I have to assume that's what the analysis is telling me. It's not telling me that he had it in the past.
But an analysis.
I know that. I'm only, I'm using logic.
An analysis.
Oh, dear me. Slap me for using logic. My goodness gracious. And go ahead.
Okay. An analysis would have to have levels.
Yes, it would.
Because when you come down, especially in your chemicals.
And it would have to say where this was detected. In the blood or in the tissue, and whether it was in the blood cells or in the blood serum and all this kind of stuff. And most blood analysis is just of serum anyway.
Well, this, as far as I know, this was not a blood analysis, but it's possible. It was called a full body scan.
Yeah, I went to that website. You know what I think it is? I think it's a full body scam. Spelled S-C-A-M. They put you under this machine, scans your body, and it tells you everything that's wrong with you and what you got and what you don't have, and very convenient. Guy walks outside, a plane flies over with a contrail, he runs in, jumps under this machine, all of a sudden he's got hepatitis A, rabies, Epstein-Barr, flu 83, V2 flu, turpentine, mononucleosis, and a whole bunch of long chemical names here. Yeah, I saw that too, by mail, which means you don't even have to get near the machine. I also saw something else. They claimed, or at least it's intimated in the heading on the webpage, that they're connected with some legitimate institute of higher learning. And when you go through the whole thing, you find out that's not true at all. They have no connection whatsoever. Yes, and they are not at all.
No, actually, they are located in South Carolina.
You know how I know? I called the Institute and asked them. And they said, absolutely not. Never heard of them. Don't know anything about them. Definitely not a part of their educational organization. Well, let's talk about some of this other. Let's talk about the contrails. Since everybody thinks contrails are poisoning them, let's find out what they are. Jay, what are contrails? How are they formed? And what do they do after they're formed?
Well, the answer to what are contrails is basically the same answer as what is rain? What is snow?
What are clouds? Yeah.
Comes from a jet engine. It's a byproduct
almost everything has at least a minute amount of water in it. Even if it's supposed to have been all the water taken out, even if it just sits around, normal condensation, if it's exposed to the air, even for a little while, we'll put some water in it.
Not even just that, Bill. When you actually, in the combustion process, hydrogen and oxygen is a byproduct of the combustion itself.
Absolutely, it's water. Not only that, but these engines are taking in air that contains a lot of water already in vaporized form.
True. And so when this water comes out of the air, the jet engine, it's warm. It immediately hits very cold air, especially at high altitudes.
Now, we know from observation, I have never seen a contrail form at a low altitude. Now, I'm not going to say it's impossible. I'm just going to say, factually, that I have never seen a contrail at any kind of a low altitude, except one that is produced artificially by some acrobatic plane at an air show.
Well, Bill, they can form right on the ground. And the reason why I know this is, during this last month, there were airports closed in Alaska because they had a terrible cold wave. They had temperatures to 70 below zero.
And basically what was happening was the moisture coming out of the engines was causing a ground fog to form.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so
but you see, I've never seen this. And I've lived on and around military bases and airports all my it's extremely rare. Sure.
And the magic number seems to be right around 40 degrees below zero.
Okay.
And so you could say in Montana, it gets that cold on the ground sometimes.
Uh-huh.
You could say it gets that cold maybe at 10,000 feet sometimes.
Uh-huh.
But generally, we're talking 5 miles, maybe a little higher.
Yeah, the normal contrail that normal people like me are used to seeing are pretty high up there.
Now, I've never worked with very many big jets, but I have to wonder how anyone would know the altitude that plane is flying.
Well, you can't. I mean, you can't unless you're on the plane or unless you call the local radar installation and ask them, and they probably wouldn't tell you, you know, what plane, what are you talking about? You know, they're looking at a whole bunch of planes. But you can tell that they're pretty high up there.
Yeah, in general, it's they fly at your 30,000 feet and up.
Yeah.
At least once they're cruising.
Sure.
So, the second reason why contrails form, besides freezing temperatures, is that the air needs to have some amount of water in it. You'll very seldom see a contrail after a cold front passes. The reason for that is that the air is dry. If you do get a contrail, it will evaporate very quickly, almost right behind the plane.
Uh-huh.
And I had a cold front come through the other day, and today we saw plane after plane with no contrails at all today. However, when that cold front was approaching, you could see it on the radar coming, and there were contrails all around.
Uh-huh. We see a lot of contrails here. We're way up in the mountains, and I guess a lot of moisture up there at that altitude, even if there's not a lot down here. And we seem to be under you'd call them highways in the air, air traffic corridors where planes always travel to and from certain destinations. And we have planes that pass from south to north,
from south to northwest, from south to northeast. We have planes flying from east to west, and we see a lot of contrails. And it is true that contrails, under certain conditions, can linger and spread out and then become cirrus clouds, because I've seen that happen. Uh-huh.
Small ice crystals down to the 10 or 20 micron sizes.
Now, once they begin to form, they can actually cause other crystallizations to form that would not otherwise have formed.
That's true. The air which is saturated might not have any clouds at all in it, but once you put a seed crystal out there, that can attract, the seed crystals can attract more moisture. Then what happens? The crystals will grow. Eventually, they can get big enough to where they fall. The air cannot support them anymore.
And that's how they used to seed what they used to do, seeding the clouds, and they used to do it with iodide crystals and cause this to happen under certain humid conditions. Try to make rain. Those were some of the earliest experiments in weather control.
And that's still being done. That's done. Cloud seeding is done in Texas. It's done in Nevada. It's done in California. It's done in Nebraska. It's done in Oklahoma. It's done all over places, especially that don't get much rain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's permitted. In other words, they have strict permits. And it's an open situation. It's not something that's done covertly. It's very highly regulated. But what a lot of people are seeing are these falling ice crystals. And you can have exactly the same phenomenon in natural clouds.
Well, sure. And you can watch the crystals begin to fall, and eventually they'll turn into rain as they reach the lower altitudes, and you'll get precipitation. Yeah, that can happen too. I can sit on my mountain here and watch rain begin to fall from a cloud, and you can see it coming down, the black lines in the sky coming down from the clouds, and they never hit the ground.
That's right.
They stop before they ever hit the ground, and I watch these clouds just drift across.
Well, I've done a certain amount of sailing myself, and there's an old sailor's rhyme. You know, they have one that's red sky at morning, sailors take warning.
Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Yes, I'm an old Navy man. I'm familiar with all of these things.
Well, there's another one, and it goes, mackerel skies and mare's tails make tall ships set low sails.
Now, most people won't understand that, but what it means is that is a signal that you're going to have some high winds. And you don't want to have full sails set when high winds hit your ship.
And the mare's tails are the streaking in the sky from these ice crystals falling out of a cloud.
Yes.
Or out of a contrail.
Sure.
A contrail is really nothing more than a cloud, a man-made cloud.
Uh-huh. Not intentionally man-made, but nevertheless man-made.
That's right.
In fact, the Air Force would rather not make contrails. They don't want their planes to be seen.
Well, sure.
And if there's a contrail, all you have to do is follow it to one end or the other, and there's an airplane there.
That's true. And if it lingered for a long time, as they can do, it gives you a record of who's been flying in the past.
Yeah.
Even though they may be gone.
Now, what about this cobweb stuff? There's even been reports of fish falling out of the sky.
Yes, frogs.
Documented. Proven. Not conjecture. Actual occurrences. But you see, when I was in the Navy, I remember one time when we were in the Pacific Ocean trying to dodge these squall lines that were coming at us, and so we were changing course quite often.
and then all of a sudden found ourselves surrounded by seven different tornadoes. Now, in the Navy, in the ocean, you call them water spouts, but they're just tornadoes over water. And when they hit the water, instead of bringing up dust and all this debris like they do when they hit the ground, when a tornado hits the ground, like in, say, Oklahoma or Kansas, out in the ocean, it pulls up this column of water. And whatever's in that water eventually is going to fall back down to Earth. Uh-huh.
As he passed along the coast of South America, far offshore, he sighted cobwebs in the sky. He didn't see any contrails, though.
Yeah. You know, that's not unusual at all. When I was in the Navy, we were in the middle of the Indian Ocean. The Indian Ocean is a vast, huge ocean. We were dead in the middle of the Indian Ocean and had a sandstorm. So these things can occur in strange places. I mean, everybody was baffled and bewildered. Here we were in the middle of the Indian Ocean, hundreds and hundreds of miles from land, in the middle of a sandstorm. And I could tell you some other stories, but that's not the purpose of this broadcast. But it's just to let the listening audience know that unusual circumstances in unusual places are not rare. They happen. But go ahead with the cobwebs.
Okay, well, there was one fellow that I was able to contact who claimed to have seen cobwebs falling from a contrail. And his report mentioned that he saw five airplanes that had contrails out the back. He estimated their altitude at 10 to 15,000 feet. That seems a little low for contrails, but if he said he saw them, let's go ahead and say he saw them. He said that he ran inside the house and made a couple of phone calls.
Well, let's say something that's better than that. Let's say that he estimated the altitude without having any ability to do so. And he estimated 15,000 feet. And they actually could have been at any altitude.
That's right.
Okay. That's more accurate, probably.
Well, he went inside his house and spent 10 minutes on the telephone calling his friends, come and see. Then he went outside and he said he saw something fluttering down out of the sky. And he went over and collected it. He claimed that four days later, he was sick, and the material looked like cobweb or a fibrous material.
Uh-huh.
He said it was about 6 inches long, and it eventually disintegrated, he said, to where it's now only very small. Didn't put it into a container.
You know, people who say they see UFOs have been describing this phenomenon for a couple of centuries, actually. They claim that they see UFOs and the spider web stuff comes out of the UFOs. I just wanted to put that in there, to put this in perspective that...
It's true, Bill. I've seen those reports, and they use the word angel hair for that.
That's right. But nevertheless, when you ask them to describe it, it's the same thing you just said this guy described to you.
Well,
exactly.
I decided I was working on some insulation that one day, and I decided, hey, this looks like a fibrous material. So I took it up on top of the house, and I formed it into a piece that he said about 6 inches long. I dropped it off the house and counted how long it took and how far it fell to get to the ground.
Uh-huh.
I found it fell at 2 feet per second.
Okay.
1,000 divided by 2 is 5,000.
Uh-huh.
Well, 5,000 seconds is 83 minutes, Bill.
Yeah.
Not 10 minutes.
Well, this is one of the biggest discrepancies that with every claim that I've heard from people who say they saw a contrail in the sky at whatever altitude they said it was at, and then the contrail fell down on them and they got sick. And unless it was made out of BBs or lead or something, it couldn't have happened. And even if it was made out of BBs or lead, it would not have fallen straight down. It would have fallen in a direction that the wind was blowing. So, you know, it would not have fallen directly down on anybody who was standing directly under you.
No, it's interesting that some of these reports, you can't see it, but you can hear what the people are saying. They're saying that they see a contrail up in the sky, and at the same time, they're tasting something in their mouth.
And 10 minutes later, they're sick.
No.
We got to pause right here. So collect your thoughts. And we're going to pause right here and play some music. Why don't you, you know, if you've got to go get a drink of water or go to the bathroom or something, go ahead. And we'll be back in about 3 minutes. Okay? Okay, folks, you're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. This is the hour of the time. I'm William Cooper. And we're putting to rest all those nasty rumors about how you're being killed by contrails. Poo-poo. And it's just making some of these people so mad, they just called up and threatened my life. Well, by golly, I'm not a scared, I'm not afraid, I'm not terrified. The entire might of the federal government doesn't make me tremble. And you're not going to do it either. So there.
Thought I was all right in a sort of a limited way for an off night. She said, "Don't I know you from the cinematographer's party?" I said, "Who am I to blow against the wind?" I know, I've done what I've said.
You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. This is a rerun, ladies and gentlemen. And it needed to be rerun really, really bad. So, pay attention. You might learn something. That is, you might learn something. And then again, you might not.
Aren't you the woman who was recently given a Fulbright? She said, "Don't I know you from the cinematographer's party?" I said, "Well, who am I to blow against the wind? I know, I'm doing what I've said. I'm coming, I know. And the thing that I do through the back of my head, I know, I know.
Well, we're back from that little excursion, and I've got my glass of ice water here. Jay, are you back?
Yes, my waiter is bringing me some ice water, too.
Oh, you have a waiter tonight. Sometimes I have, and sometimes I have not. And tonight I have no waiter. It's usually a waitress around here. One of my daughters usually performs the function. But they're busy right now. Jay, if someone were to see a contrail at, say, 30,000 feet, which is where most of them are, either 30,000 feet or higher, some may be lower, but most are probably occurring at 30,000 feet or higher. If that were to fall, how long would it take to get to the ground, and how far away from where it originally started would it probably end up if, say, there was a 5-mile-per-hour wind, which is being very conservative, because at different altitudes there are different winds and wind speeds and wind directions and all kinds of things.
Well, in general, they're going to fall at the most, at the fastest, 10,000 feet per hour.
So if they're falling 10,000 feet per hour, it would take 3 hours for that contrail to hit the ground. And if the wind was blowing at 5 miles an hour, the closest it would be to you, if the contrail was directly above your head, would be 15 miles away when it reached the ground. Is that correct?
Yes, but in general, the ice crystals evaporate before they hit the ground. It's rare that they would ever get down to the ground.
Well, let's say there was some deadly, poisonous, biological... Oh, and this is another one that I just love. They say that some of these contrails are dispersing biological warfare agents that are in the jet fuel. Now, Jay, you and I know that there's no biological organism on this earth that can live through the combustion chamber of a jet engine.
That's right. We're talking
We're talking at least 1,000 degrees, and whatever's in that jet fuel is not going to infect anybody if it's a biological agent once it goes through that combustion chamber. But that's what these people are claiming.
I've heard that before.
I wonder where they purchased their brains. You know, there's no more five and dime stores that I've been able to find. There's a couple of dollar stores around. Maybe they sell them there. Next time I see one, I'll stop and ask, hey, are you guys selling brains in the back room or something?
Well, Bill,
I mean, that's just common sense. I mean, this makes me so angry, I can't believe the stupidity of some people. That is just common sense, that if it's in the jet fuel and it's some kind of an anthrax or a biological warfare agent and it's in the fuel, and to get into a contrail, it's got to go through the combustion chamber of a jet engine for these twit, no-brain, airhead idiots to even remotely believe that that could happen is just absolutely beyond my understanding. I mean, we're talking absolute idiots here.
I would say so, Bill, too. Now, usually, Bill, the contrails don't fall.
Well, we all know that from watching them. That part just kills me, folks. I got to take it back and play it again because it just kills me when Jay says that. It's great. So I got to hear it again, so bear with me. That can live through the combustion chamber of a jet engine.
That's right. We're talking over 1,000 degrees.
We're talking at least 1,000 degrees, and whatever's in that jet fuel is not going to infect anybody if it's a biological agent once it goes through that combustion chamber. But that's what these people are claiming.
I've heard that before.
I wonder where they purchased their brains. You know, there's no more five and dime stores that I've been able to find. There's a couple of dollar stores around. Maybe they sell them there. Next time I see one, I'll stop and ask, hey, are you guys selling brains in the back room or something? I mean, that's just common sense. I mean, this makes me so angry, I can't believe the stupidity of some people. That is just common sense, that if it's in the jet fuel and it's some kind of an anthrax or a biological warfare agent and it's in the fuel, and to get into a contrail, it's got to go through the combustion chamber of a jet engine for these twit, no-brain, airhead idiots to even remotely believe that that could happen is just absolutely beyond my understanding. I mean, we're talking absolute idiots here.
Now listen to what Jay says, folks. This is just absolute kill. I really just roll with laughter when Jay comes across with this.
I would say so, Bill, too. Now, usually, Bill, the contrails don't fall.
Well, we all know that from watching them. They might spread out and eventually cause other ice crystals to form and become a cloud cover, but I've yet to see any fall. And, you know, and since this started a couple of years ago, I've really been paying a lot of attention to them because I wanted to know the truth just like you, and I wanted to see what they were doing. I've never seen any of them fall, have you? Well, you're luckier than me, because we have an awful lot of contrails fly over here, airplanes fly over here, and leave a lot of contrails. I've yet to see one of them fall. I've seen them spread out. I've seen them disappear. I've seen them do all kinds of things, turn into a cloud layer, but I have never yet seen one of them fall. Now, I'm not saying that they don't. I'm just saying I haven't seen it yet, and I've seen a lot of contrails in my life. Okay.
But generally, these contrails continue drifting until they go out of sight. In fact, you can access some beautiful satellite pictures of contrails.
On several places on the internet.
That's true. Some of them are so detailed, you've just never seen them that nice. The satellite that I'm speaking of is from NOAA. And I've seen some photos showing hundreds and hundreds of contrails. And you know where they were going?
Where were they going, Jay?
They were going to Washington, D.C.
To kill the president.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. But that, according to all these nuts, I mean, how come if they're flying over Washington, D.C., and it's the government that's doing it, how come there's contrails all over Washington, D.C. every day? You wouldn't think they'd want to kill themselves, would you? How come there's contrails all over, above Air Force bases, all over the country, and according to these nuts, it's the Air Force that's doing it, why would they want to kill themselves?
And Wall Street, and every Navy base, and every large population center where all of these supposed people who are murdering us also live. Oh, my goodness gracious. Land sakes alive, as my grandmother would say.
Doesn't make much sense, does it?
Doesn't make any sense at all. Wacko, woo-woo, woo-woo, woo-woo. A bit. You know, Daffy Duck would just be right at home here.
Picture of where that cloud went.
Uh-huh.
It starts somewhere off the coast of Louisiana over the ocean, and it drifts practically all the way to Florida. 1,000 miles almost.
Uh-huh. And never hits the ground.
Nope, not that one.
Hey, listen to this. On January 25th, 1999, talk radio host Art Bell, again, old Art, January 25th, 1999, interviewed William Thomas, who has written two articles for Like Host's Environment News Service that described his hypothesis that contrails contain either a poisonous substance, a bacterial or viral agent, or a substance being used for weather modification. He's not sure which, but I can guarantee you there's no bacterial or viral agent that gets through the combustion chamber of any engine alive. Doesn't happen. You're just spreading lies, Mr. Thomas. No doubt about it. Any poisonous substance that went through there also would have a chemical change. Would experience a chemical change. Weather modification? I don't know if the Air Force uses contrails for weather modification or not. We all know from observation that they can cause clouds to form. Cloud cover. Sometimes over a very large area. But most of the people interviewed in Thomas's article did not know that the Fink report was false, and Thomas admitted on Art Bell's program that no analysis of any material or medical condition is known to exist, and yet he keeps claiming that they do. And on January the 30th, 1999, William Thomas issued an alert which said, and I quote, verbatim, "Something huge is going on. In many regions, I can confirm that hospital emergency rooms are filled to overflowing with a sudden epidemic of acute respiratory patients suffering from something doctors cannot diagnose, and that is not the flu. What is definitely known and verifiable is that thousands, quite possibly tens of thousands of Americans, and perhaps more, are becoming ill enough to seek medical attention after these flyovers, which are continuing at a step up.
Well, I guess you get the gist of all of this, folks. Just the biggest bunch of crap that has ever come out. And this is normal. I mean, if it wasn't contrails, it'd be something else. Being passed hand to hand and mouth to ear and over the fax networks and on your email systems and through your United States mail and everything else. Because apparently that's what sheeple love to do. And there apparently exists a tremendous number of stupid sheeple in the so-called patriot community, because that's where all this is flying around. Other people don't pay any attention to it. What's the matter with you? I don't understand it. I will never understand. I've been combating it for years. The purpose of this broadcast is to get you to think and stop repeating rumors and passing on lies that somebody handed to you, you know, during your lunch hour at work or wherever you got it from, or over your fax network or your email box. Or the internet list that you belong to, or the person that called you on the phone last night at 11 o'clock, you know, in a panic because you're being poisoned by contrails. No, folks, I can't figure it out. What is it about most of you, and that includes most of this listening audience, I don't care how long you've been listening, you are still susceptible to, and actually seem to await eagerly the next rumor lie that is handed to you by somebody. I don't understand it. You have not yet learned to question or to check or even to make a simple phone call. Or even to make a simple phone call. You know, there's a friend of mine, and he is a dear friend, and I'm not going to mention his name. He will be embarrassed by this, but I'm not doing this to embarrass him. I don't want to hurt him. I care about him very much. He's a dear friend of mine who recently sent me an email taking me to task because I said that NATO was formed under the auspices of the United Nations and according to and in accordance with the United Nations Charter, and he said he couldn't find any proof of that anywhere. Anywhere. Said he'd been searching for a long time. I just sent him an email back with a very simple question. Did you ever read the NATO treaty? The answer, of course, was no. I said, always go to the primary source in any search for any information. Well, he went there. He read the NATO treaty, and there it was, black and white, right in the NATO treaty. It says so. And so then he was able to present his case. But why in the world couldn't he think of that himself? Why did I have to tell him? Why do I have to tell most of you how to verify, search for, and find the truth? What is it that you see is such a great stumbling block that seems to be so very easy for me? I don't understand it. I'm not a genius. My head is no bigger than yours. My brain doesn't weigh any more than yours. I don't have any secrets. God does not whisper in my ear. I just work. Ah, maybe that's the key. Maybe that's the answer. You see, I happen to know that most human beings have this terrible aversion to work. Well, for the rest of this hour until the end of the broadcast, which is not too much longer, we'll be taking your phone calls, 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill.
Yes, talk a lot louder, please.
Are you live tonight?
I'm live right now.
Well, I just want to make a request. You're playing a tape, aren't you?
No, I'm live right now. You're talking to me. How can I be playing a tape if I'm answering you?
Well, God bless you. I just want to make a request of you. Next time you get ready to play a tape, I want to ask if you could play the Stephen Jacobson series.
No, I can't do that.
Okay.
I can't do it anymore because Stephen has called me and asked me not to do it because it appears that instead of sending to him to purchase his tape, people are just merely recording it over the radio. And that's how he makes his living, by doing the research, making the tapes, and presenting it. And he gave me permission at one time to play it over the air, thinking that that people would be honest and would order the tape from him. But apparently, people are not that honest. And so they were recording the tape over the air, making copies, and sending it all over the place. And, of course, for the... see, this is what he does. He doesn't work anywhere else.
Okay.
And so it was hurting him terribly, and so I can't do it and will not do it.
Okay, I understand. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night.
And thank you for calling. 520-333-457. Why do people do that? Why do they do that? First, most of you profess to support this broadcast, but you'd rather record a tape, make copies, and pass it out to your friends, then purchase a tape from us and make copies according to, you know, we said you could do that if you purchased the tape from us. But you won't do it, and therefore you don't really support this broadcast, do you? Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Annette from Lawrenceboro. I've just hung up from an hour's conversation with an environmental consultant, and I called her because I knew a long time ago she had some information on what we term the contrails, and...
Well, wait a minute. Before you go any further, who exactly are you talking about?
Therese Aunier. Does that name sound familiar?
No. Who is Therese Aunier?
She is an environmental consultant.
What does that mean?
Well, she gathers information about the environment. And she,
in other words, she's not a scientist, has no scientific facts, she just gathers information.
I don't know that she's not a scientist, but...
Well, you just said she's a consultant, she gathers facts, but...
All right, but may I suggest I have her phone and fax number?
No, you cannot give those out on this broadcast.
No, I won't give it out on the broadcast. I'd be glad to call you after the broadcast and give it to you, but what is significant is that she gave some reasons why you can't... can't get the documentation.
Come on. That's bullshit. Annette, and you know it. There is no reason why, if people are being poisoned by contrails, you can't get documentation of who is being poisoned, what they're being poisoned by, where it's coming from, the analysis of the chemicals or the whatever it is in the air, and all this other kind of stuff. Don't even call me and try to give me this baloney that is passed around in the so-called patriot community as reasons why nobody can prove this. It's crap, and you know it's crap.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do know it's crap. Do you know anybody who's been poisoned by contrails?
No, I do not. But
then why are you promoting this?
I'm interested in...
No, you're not interested. You're promoting it. You have an agenda here. I know that, and if you want me to go get your letter that you just recently sent me and read it on the air to prove that you have an agenda, I'll do that. Do you want me to do that?
Whatever you want to do.
No, it's not what I want to do. What do you want to do? You want to tell the truth, or do you want to continue to try to bullshit this audience?
I don't want to bullshit...
Then what is your agenda here?
My agenda is... The government wants this to be a non-issue because Russian planes...
She said. What proof do you have other than she said? Because so far we have proven that everything that has to do with this contrail crap is he said, she said, they said, this email said, but no one has any analysis, no proof whatsoever. How dare you call this broadcast and once again say she said?
But I remember a year ago when this subject came up that samples were sent to a laboratory.
No. We told you where that came from. We did that. We covered that on this broadcast tonight. It was a lie. And the person who sent out the email admitted that it was not true. You weren't listening to the broadcast, were you?
I was on an errand. As soon as I came home, I called her.
This is the second time the broadcast has aired, and you sent me a letter taking me to task for the first broadcast. So don't tell me you didn't hear it.
No, I'm saying I got on the phone as soon as I came back from an errand. I turned on the radio, and as soon as I heard that you were repeating the first broadcast, I then immediately
Annette, listen to me. You find the analysis. You send it to me. And I will research it and find out if it's true. And if it is, I'll get on the air and I'll apologize to the whole world. And I'll read the analysis and I'll prove that the contrails are poisoning people. Until then, stop spreading bullshit rumors.
Have you heard that Jackie Petru has...
Heard my ass! Show me! If Jackie Petru has something that proves it, have her send it to me. I am tired of these rumors, and she said, he said, I heard it on Jackie Petru, so-and-so, who's a consultant, and I read it in this email. You prove it. And if you can't prove it, stop spreading bullshit rumors, because that's exactly what they are. You haven't got one shred of proof. All you have is what you have heard. Nobody is being poisoned by contrails. Nobody is falling dead from diseases that came out of the combustion chambers of jet engines. Period.
Well, I'm not disputing that fact. I'm saying that Miss Arnier has said.
I don't care what she said. I want proof. I don't want hearsay. I don't want what somebody said. Then you can't afford to call this broadcast and continue to spread rumors, because that's exactly what you're doing. Do you understand what a rumor is? Do you understand what a rumor is?
Yes, I.
A rumor is, I heard it from so-and-so, and I'm spreading it on to you, and that's all you've got, isn't it?
All I could ask was...
Annette, isn't that all you've got?
No, all I said...
Isn't that all you've got?
If there is...
Annette... Answer my question. Isn't that all you've got? You've heard it from so-and-so, and you're passing... Good night, Annette. You see, she can't even be honest. That's all she has. Rumor. Bullshit. She heard it from so-and-so, and she believes it, so she's going to pass it on. And I'm telling you all right now, it's going to stop right here. And if you want to keep doing it, you're going to discredit yourself and prove that you're nothing but a pack of rumor-mongering liars.
Period. If the contrails are making people sick, if they're poisoning people, prove it to me. Prove it to me. And if you can't prove it to me, you shut your lying, rumor-mongering mouth. And I mean it. It won't wash on this broadcast. I don't care who you are. I don't care what our past relationship has been. I don't care what it's going to be in the future. I don't care if you hate my guts. I don't care if you want to threaten my life. I don't care. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
You dare to ask me how I'm doing? I'm pissed off at the stupidity of the American people. I'm pissed off at the stupidity of people like Annette.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's just that we got the little puppies that are going around chasing us.
Yeah, I'm pissed off at people like Jackie Patru, who just parrot this stuff. And I've got a lot more stuff that I could say about Jackie Patru, but I'll refrain from that tonight.
Yeah, the reason why I called is just a news update. Now, this is from Radio Yugoslavia website. I believe it's 120 Russian trucks are on their way with food and humanitarian supplies and who knows what else. And they expect to be, they said they were going to be arriving April 11th.
Now where did you get this from?
Radio Yugoslavia website, www.beograd.
Okay, so that's on the Beograd website, but it has not been confirmed by any of the stores.
They said in Beograd that CNN said there were 72. And yesterday...
Well, we'll have to find out, because I was watching CNN all day, and I didn't see that on CNN. But anyway, that's fine. You gave the source, and that's what we like on this broadcast. Give the source so people can go look for themselves. But still, one source is not confirmation.
Right, that's true. There's a number of other sources, but I'm not going to go into all of them now, but there's quite a plethora of...
Well, we know that the Russians are supplying the Yugoslavians. I've said that from day one. I happen to know that that's true. I come from the intelligence community. I still have a lot of friends in the intelligence community. My father was an Air Force career officer. I was reared on Air Force bases all my life. I have solid and continuing contacts within the military community, including the Air Force, the Navy, and the United States Army, who are personal friends, who are not leaking anything, but they will tell me the truth if I ask them, and I pass it on to you, and I'm telling you right now, the Russians are resupplying the Yugoslavians.
Right, and I'd just like to say I think it's a crime, and...
what's a crime?
Wait a minute.
What's a crime? That they're resupplying the Yugoslavians or what?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I meant to be referring about the whole thing in general.
Okay, you got to remember that you're talking to a vast listening audience, radio audience, and they don't know what you're talking about unless you explain it to them.
Yes, that's true. No, I think it's a crime. You just don't go in and try to obliterate a sovereign country. And I think it's good. It's just a new world order type of deal, and I don't think they give a damn about the peace proposals or the meeting with Rugova and trying to work something out there. And then the ceasefire, that was a perfect opportunity to save face and save lives. And if it didn't work, they could always go back to bombing later on. It doesn't hurt anything to try, and they just completely poo-pooed the whole thing.
That's because they are the mafia. This is the new mafia of the world.
Yep.
They don't like the way you're running your shop. You're going to run your shop the way the mafia says you're going to run your shop. If you don't, then you're going to have your shop bombed in the middle of the night unless you agree to do it the way they say you're going to do it. And, if you don't, even though they bomb your shop, when you walk down the street, they'll beat you up. They'll beat up your children. They'll beat up your wife. They'll rape your wife. They'll burn down your apartment. They will do it until you agree to do exactly what they want you to do.
Yep.
Come hell or high water, they are the new thugs on the block. They are the new Hitler, the new Nazis, the new mafia, the new protection racket.
You do what we say, we'll protect you. You don't go along with us, we're going to bomb you into the Stone Age.
Yep, they couldn't have a Waco. We told them no more Wacos over here, so we decided to have one over there.
That's right.
Yep. Well, good night, Bill, and like they say, we are all targets.
Yeah, we are.
So
I'm wearing mine. How about you?
No, I don't have one yet, but
get one.
I have to get a T-shirt.
Get one. Put it on, you know, draw one. Paste it on. Tape it on. Put it on your door. Put it on your car. Don't wait. Don't bullshit around. There's people dying over there being killed by these thugs, and we've got to let them know we don't approve of it. So don't put it off. Don't procrastinate, and don't be afraid.
Right. What's the hookup with Bin Laden and the KLA? Is that true?
Absolutely true.
And I thought Bin Laden was such a bad guy. Clinton was after him only a few weeks ago, and boy, things have changed.
Clinton is only after whoever he's after, as long as it promotes the benefit of the sovereignty of the New World Order and destroys the sovereignty and the freedom of everybody and everything else.
Yep. Well, I guess there you go. It's time for you to get off the air, but I really enjoyed talking to you, Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you'll research all the history of the terrorist movements, you'll find that they originated in the British MI6, the Israeli Mossad, and the United States of America Central Intelligence Agency. If you don't believe that, get off your butt, get in the books, do the research, you'll find that it's true. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, this is Steve, the originator of the target idea. I was standing over at my local market today handing out some of my targets, going, this is what the kids in Yugoslavia hold up to the bombers as they come over.
Mm-hmm.
And I did kind of an informal poll there. I only would get answers from, I'd ask people if they knew two cities in Yugoslavia. And if they could name two cities, I'd ask them, what do you think of the war? And I got two people that said that they were for the war and bombing and all like this.
Mm-hmm.
And 47 people that I got to qualify with those two answers said that the thing was totally wrong. We have no reason to be there. That's the true poll of America.
What do you think about this? 73% of Americans favor sending in ground troops to destroy the Yugoslavian army and make Kosovo an independent state.
Oh, that's absolutely true. Those 73 people, they support it, but they forgot to tell
the
total of the people on the CFR that they asked.
No, they said 73% of all Americans.
Right. Americans that belong to the CFR. That's who they polled. They didn't poll America. I stand on the street corner yesterday with my sign. I got flipped off by two people and honked out in the thumbs up by 25 people. I don't think that these politicians in Washington, they don't even know they don't even know the price of a gallon of gas, much less what the American people think in these polls.
No, and the polls, I've said before in this broadcast, the polls are not polls of the opinions of the American people. They are worded and directed at specific populations in order to come up with results that will, in fact, direct public opinion.
Absolutely. That's why when I asked my people today, I said, name me two cities. And the people that could name, most of them named Belgrade and Pristina, but
mm-hmm.
there were some others that named other names within Yugoslavia. But the whole thing was, is that's the way you qualify someone to whether they have an opinion that's worth even polling them about, is to ask specific, why are you...
Oh, sure. The rest of them are just parrots repeating what they heard on the Communist News Network.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, one of my my friends, kind of a TV kind of guy, said, oh, we're bombing those people and it's good and blah, blah, blah. As soon as I took 5 minutes and explained to him that the KLA was sponsored by Osama bin Laden, and Osama bin Laden's the guy we tried to nuke 4 months ago, or not nuke, but, send the Tomahawks to. Boy, you should see how their opinion switches around when I go, well, what's next? We're going to support the Shining Path.
Yeah, but you know what? Let him listen to CNN for another 24 hours and then go ask him again, and you'll find out that this little sheeple has just reverted right back to the same old party line.
Actually, you know what? He made the mistake of asking the question while my full patriot friend, who is known by his friends as Ryan, who doesn't even listen to shortwave or anything, I opened my mouth, and then, boy, he just finished him off. And by that time, we had him parading up and down with an upside-down American flag and the whole bit. One more quick thing. Yes, this morning when I was standing out in traffic with my upside-down American flag, I had an LAPD cop pull up and told me he didn't like my American flag, the fact that it was upside down, and he made me leave my location.
Oh, he did?
Right, and I was standing in front of a gas station.
Did you ask him?
Like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Why didn't you ask him to quote you the Los Angeles city law
that said you could not fly the United States flag upside down, because he is sworn to protect the laws of the city of Los Angeles and nothing else.
Right. It was even better than that, though, Bill, because the gas station was full and I was standing in front of it, and when they saw whatever that I'd been standing there, a cop pulled up, made me leave. As I turned around, I pointed to my sign and I said, he didn't like the fact that I was flying my American flag upside down. It proves to you that America is a fascist state.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And I convinced whatever.
Yeah, it's
right at that point that my sign was in fact the truth.
It is an accepted, and in fact, it is in the law of the United States of America and in the Universal Code of Military Justice that a United States flag flown upside down is a distress signal. In the United States Navy, a ship at sea, if they're in distress and they cannot light a fire in a barrel on the deck, will fly their flag upside down as a signal of distress.
Yep.
I'm an old Navy man. I was a quartermaster. I worked with the signalmen. I had to learn all of those things in order to advance in rate. And I'm telling you right now, it's the truth. That Los Angeles police officer was a fascist, Nazi, puke-faced pig who was exerting his own personal will upon the citizenry and was not enforcing the law at all.
Right. One more thing about these cons.
We're out of time. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. See you tomorrow night.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Behind, something's not right.
Throw out your arms. Things can fly past through. We're here for the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. If you've got a complaint, think of the facts.
Get out of this house. Surrender your guns. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want to come home. That's the best I can do what you're told.
Hillary Shalala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land, and Clinton saying take the mark in your right hand, while we're all dancing to the drums of uproar strike.
Listen to me carefully, folks. If contrails are poisoning people, if you can prove there's poison in contrails, if you can prove there's disease in contrails, send me that proof, and I will tell it to the world. I will tell it to the world. I will tell it to the world. Otherwise, shut your lying, stinking, rumoring mouths.
Agitation.
But it's not new.
You marched away and left the town as empty as can be. And I am not.